Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. The message today, plenty room. Our text, the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, 1st through 14th verses. Now, I'm just going to read the first three or four verses, but I do want you to read the entire text. You know this story. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. It is the night before the crucifixion, and Jesus has much to say to his beloved disciples. He wants them to know their lives are about to change forever, and he wants to give them instructions to prepare for his death and resurrection. All four Gospels pay much attention to this time, but I am more drawn to the Gospel of John because he approaches the matter with such tenderness and love. Here is a moment when Jesus would have the right to be more distressed and troubled about himself. Instead, he turns outward to those he loves. When we read John's words, we can immediately sense the deep compassion and care that Jesus has for us. This is the night before his trial, yet instead of focusing the attention on himself, which would be the human side of things, he teaches his disciples and he teaches us how to look beyond our own needs, our own worries. These words are first and foremost a lesson in love, and then in the peace that comes from faith. The 14th chapter, the first verse, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You might wonder why Jesus would have to admonish his disciples to believe in him at this point. After all, they've been with him for 3 years. They know him. More importantly, Jesus knows them. That's why he reminds them. You know, Judas has already betrayed the Lord. Jesus knows that he will be denied by another disciple, Peter, and deserted by the rest of them before it's over. That's still ahead, you see. Yet he faces their frailties with love. He pulls his followers together to inform them he's going to be with them for a little while. There's much concern about what that means. Peter has already asked Jesus where he's headed. Thomas is concerned that no one will be able to follow Jesus. And the Lord's response, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So this is not so much a word about the location of heaven and where Jesus is going. It's really about relationship with the divine. Jesus wants the disciples first to know how intimately he is bound to God, and then he wants them to trust that though he may go ahead of them into a future they cannot see, they will be empowered to follow. And all that evolves around their willingness and our willingness to believe. It is the call of our faith, and it is the work of our faith. In the Bible, to believe is more than accepting that God is real. It is trusting that God will do what God says he will do. You know, Billy Graham, the great evangelist, put it beautifully when he said, suppose you're walking down a path and you come to a bridge that crosses a deep ravine. Now, you may believe that bridge will hold your weight, but until you walk it, you will never really know. The only way you will really know what that bridge will bear is to walk on it. So we're not talking about the belief in the idea or concept of Jesus, or even in a specific doctrine of Jesus. We're talking about believing the promises of Jesus. The disciples want to cling to the perceived safety of some known state or destination, but Jesus says, you're going to have to trust me on that. I will be able to secure your identities beyond death. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to prepare this place for you, and you're going to get where I want you to go. But you have to trust me. This text assures us that God will not abandon us. And the amazing part of this assurance is that we have it despite what God knows about us, how we will stumble, how we will struggle in our walk. That is a powerful affirmation. I'm so glad you're with us today. Here's a special invitation. Join me at Vision New England's GO Conference at the Connecticut Convention Center in Hartford, May 20th and 21st. Hear some dynamic preachers. Be inspired and uplifted while together we learn more effective ways of taking the gospel to our friends, our neighbors, and co-workers in order to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. That's Vision New England's GO Conference, May 20th and 21st in Hartford, Connecticut. And here's a special deal. If you're a Love Rules listener, you can log on to goconf.org. That's goconf.org. And then go down to the coupons part of the registration. And after you've registered, just type in Love Rules and you'll get a 15% discount. And you'll hear some messages that just may change your life. So join us. This text is traditionally used in funerals as a meditation on eternity. Jesus has prepared a way for us to eternal life. But I've always looked at it a little differently. The text reflects my earliest and sweetest memories of Scripture. My father's house has many rooms. I grew up in a parsonage, and most of what I remember about living there was everything was crowded and nothing belonged to us. That's what my father used to tell us. This is not your house, so you have to treat it like it belongs to someone else. If my heart was troubled, it was because I had to sleep in my brother's room for a long time, and when my parents finally moved me, it was into the guest room, which was also my dad's study. So the idea of a God who would give me my very own room, oh my goodness! He had me at that. My father's house has many rooms. Now, I don't believe that is too far-fetched a way to kind of interpret this text right now. While the main message here is indeed about the hospitality of heaven, there is the implied message about the overall hospitality of God himself. When you think about it, eternity is God. The psalmist proclaims, "Before the mountains were formed, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Jesus is telling us here that believing in him, believing in God, is believing in eternity. And that brings with it many wonderful and eternal promises. So I just want to focus today on one word. The key to this text is found in the Greek term for mansions or rooms. In my father's house are many rooms, which literally can be interpreted as an abode or dwelling place. The verb here, the Greek verb, is meno. And it means to abide. So one way of putting this all together is that this is a divine invitation that all believers are welcome to abide in the dwelling, the presence of God. Now, this is confirmed by reading the rest of this chapter 14, because we run into the word abide again. Only this time, in verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." So this is where the Father dwells, where his house is, in those who love him and keep his word. In chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus again talks about abiding. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me." So you see, there's a number of ways you can take this term abide and abode, ranging from the noun, meaning a dwelling, to the verb, which means to continue, to endure. And they all work when it comes to our relationship with Christ. So this text is not about a physical destination. It's more about being closely and consistently identified with Jesus. So close that there is an inseparable link. I want to abide in Christ. I want Christ to abide in me. I want to be identified closely with Jesus. We live in a culture that struggles with identity. Who are we as Americans? How do we define a family? What does it mean to be a father? We watch our young people struggle with their cultural and sexual identities. And quiet as it's kept, there are many believers who struggle with personal identity. It's always something that we're searching about. Just who am I? What is my identity at the very core of what I believe? That is what Jesus is talking about here. Believe in God and believe also in me. As a child, I had to learn how to be confident in the truth that even though the parsonage did not belong to our family, I belong to my family and my family belonged to me. I had to be taught that there was a place for me, a body to which I was a part. I could always identify with this body, my family, the Walkers, whether we lived in one parsonage or the next, whether I was with them physically or not. It took me a long time to realize that, but I finally did. And my familial identification was critically important to my growth and maturity. There is a parallel here between the process of my growing fully into my family identity and our growing into our full spiritual identity. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. If Jesus has prepared a place for us, he will prepare us for the place. That is the bonus of the promise of God, that through and in Jesus Christ, we are being prepared for this abode, this dwelling place, this eternity in Christ. We grow in Christ, and we are prepared to live in eternity with Christ, with God. So the key to growing in your identity is not only who you think you are, but who you follow. Comedian Bernie Mac used to say, "Who you with?" That's a good way to interpret this. You are not alone. You have Jesus Christ, and that is your identity. And the way we can be assured of that identity is through the Holy Spirit. So this plenty room means that there's plenty ways to abide in Christ and have Christ abide in me. It's so important. Think of it as filling yourself up with the presence of Christ in every way you can. The more of Christ you need, the more you desire, the more of Christ is available, and you will never be too full. There is plenty of room. Let not our hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in Jesus. Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you love.